I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of them.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government. This is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Tuesday, September 5th, 2023 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride, to be sure. And I suppose we'll get into that a little bit today. I wanted to talk about Maui. We really haven't gone down the rabbit hole. It seems that things are more bizarre than we can imagine. I think there's controlled opposition in the midst, and there's more to say about that. But I think there's more theater going on in places like Maui and pretty much everywhere else than we realize. And that's unfortunate. You know, it's really sinister to take advantage of people's good faith. And I think this is part of the reason, as I've mentioned, that Jesus saying in Matthew 24 that because of lawlessness, the love of many would grow cold. And Nesta Webster, in World Revolution, The Plot Against Civilization, wrote that to deceive the people whose simple faith and lack of education prevent them from seeing whither they are being led is as cowardly as to guide a blind man into a ditch. But that's exactly what was going on over 100 years ago. And I think that practice has continued forward. If you are a Machiavellian type, then of course you're going to exploit people's weaknesses, including their innocence and their good faith, their goodwill, and I don't know, the Christian ethic generally. You know, the golden rule: do unto others as you would have done unto you. Of course, you're going to exploit that and take advantage of it. And I think that's happening in places like Maui in ways that we don't realize. And that's a layered conversation. I think oftentimes people get drawn into something they don't realize they're a part of, and then only to realize or discover too late that, you know, they're sort of in over their head, and then there are folks who will say, well, you know what, too bad, it's too late now, you can't go back because no one would believe you anyway. I think that happens more often than we realize. But I want to sort of maybe continue from last week. We didn't get a couple of things done. I think we'll start there. I want to start with Dr. Drew on narcissism. Where does it come from? And when you think about what he's saying as far as where this comes from, and you think about children who have grown up over the last several generations, the last few generations. I mean, I'm part of a generation that was referred to as latchkey kids for a while. And so what does that portend? What kind of an adult do we make when children have this kind of an upbringing? Dr. Drew makes some interesting points. He's an interesting guy. And I think it's always interesting to hear people's background a little bit. I think it gives them more credibility. You can't do this all the time to say, you know, this is my background and this is why I know whereof I speak. But he has an opportunity to do this in this case, and it's pretty interesting, I think. So without further ado, this is the clip titled, YouTube video titled, Dr. Drew Says That Narcissism Is All About Trauma. So let's give that a listen. Go ahead, please.
I want to read a quote from The Mirror Effect,
okay,
which is a great way to tee up, I think, a lot of things that I want to talk about. Right. So it said, you said in that book, the very wealthy and the very famous have a much closer affinity with the indigent street person than with the rest of us. There's the narcissism, the addiction, even the outlandish dress. Often they don't put great value in relationships.
And the bipolar disorder, I should add. That's the other thing you see in both populations.
So I know you spent and maybe continue to spend time and obviously like have shows about this, dealing with people who are famous, yeah, celebrities.
Yeah.
And the book talks a lot about that. This book's not new, but it's incredibly relevant.
Yeah. And what's a shame is that they wouldn't let me put this one chapter I wanted to put in there about other periods of history where there's been this much narcissism and childhood trauma. And I wanted to write about pre-revolutionary France and the probability of mob action and scapegoating and guillotines.
Really?
Here we are.
That tragically feels way more relevant than
here
it even did probably 10 years ago.
Oh, people thought I was nuts. Like, what? How do you? You can't say that. I'm just looking at the patterns. It's inevitable.
How did you end up in this celebrity situation? Was it because of the radio combined with the medicine that you ended up treating celebrities as much as you have?
Okay, so the psychiatric hospital I worked at, it was called Las Encinas Hospital. It was the template for every Happy Acres hospital you ever see in the movie industry through the 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. It was fashioned after Las Encinas Hospital because that's where they all went to dry out and deal with their depressions and their suicidality. This was a hospital that specialized in treating the Los Angeles world, which was largely, you know, a lot of
Hollywood.
Yeah, a lot of Hollywood types. And it was a private hospital. It was a for cash only thing back in the day. Not when I was there, but back in the day, it was this very exclusive thing. And they did a shitty job of some of the stuff they were doing. But whatever. I mean, when I got there, it was like a museum of psychiatry. It was incredible to be able to see and to talk to some of the psychiatrists that became friends of mine who were there during all that. I really got exposed to the history of all this. So I was seeing them in the hospital. I was talking to them on the radio because we'd have celebrity guests every night. Without exception, they'd pull me aside and tell me their
And it was always around trauma and narcissism and substances. I got to the point where I was running a program. I'd refer them over to my program. Yeah, you want treatment? We have a good team.
What is narcissism? Because it's this word that I think we all know colloquially.
Yeah.
Oh, that person's a narcissist. And we just mean maybe they're self-absorbed or they...
It's not egotistic. It is self-absorbed, but it's self-absorbed because of the deep pain they carry around. I mean, try to smash your finger with a hammer and try not to think about yourself, right? When you're in pain, you tend to focus on self. These are people that oftentimes were injured during childhood. It's called a narcissistic injury. And they don't develop normally. They exit the frame of relating that we need to develop an emotional landscape. They just pull out because of the trauma. And then they start trying to get from the world what they need to feel better. And that feeling better often involves feeling bigger and feeling more powerful. And it's literally, I heard a psychiatrist define it just a couple of days ago. I have a show Wednesdays, if I don't mention this, my wife will kill me, at 3 o'clock, where we've been talking to lots of the silenced people from the COVID epidemic.
Yeah.
And this was Mark McDonald, who's been highly marginalized. But he said, you know, a narcissist is, it all leads to narcissism right now. And he said, it's essentially just a baby. Imagine something that does not develop into a full adult and then gets from the environment what they need to satisfy their whims.
That sense of arrested development, I think, is an interesting way to think about it.
It's a little just so to say arrested development. It's really a deeply wounded core. And that core is something that the narcissist is not necessarily in touch with at all. What they're in touch with is what they need from the world and how it makes them feel. And they need to feel powerful and big in order to protect themselves against this weak, painful, and often empty feeling inside.
Why did you compare these celebrities and what they're going through to the indigent? We met because we've worked on this homelessness documentary together, Beyond Homeless, and so that context is lying in the background. Yep. And you're in LA, and homelessness there is a disaster. But this is, you wrote this 10 years ago. This is before this was all at the forefront.
Yeah, I was just reporting what I saw. So here I am. I thought I had some psychiatric knowledge, and I arrive at this hospital in 1985, and I start digging in and really working there regularly, like I was there all the time. And this is what I saw. Now, at that point, it was no longer this place that was, you know, cash only for the exclusive. It was a general psychiatric hospital. And so, you know, Medicaid, Medicare, Medi-Cal, insurances, and wealthy, all mixed together. That's who was there, the very rich and the very poor. And it struck me. It was so striking that the conditions that these two populations were suffering from it would manifest differently, but it was the same. It was very much the same. A lot of trauma.
Yeah.
And that's what makes people drive to be so successful. It also is what drives people to be non-functional. A lot of childhood trauma, a lot of addiction, a lot of bipolar disorder, a lot of personality disorder in the narcissistic spectrum. A lot of it, just everybody. Now, not to say there weren't anybody from the middle. Of course, there were. But boy, I was struck by how true it was that it was mostly the ends of, that how really it wasn't so much that it was exclusively those people in the hospital. It was that they were so similar, and that was really striking to me, that the psychiatric problems of the very rich and the very poor were the same.
If you enjoyed this clip, we've got more where that came from. Be sure to check out my full conversation with Dr. Drew. And one of the best ways you can help support us is to subscribe to the channel so you won't...
Where are we today? A lot of childhood trauma, a lot of addiction, a lot of bipolar disorder, a lot of personality disorder in the narcissistic spectrum. I don't know about you, but I'm seeing that more and more. The theosophists think that we're all autistic. We're all on the spectrum somewhere. Maybe, I think if we are not rooted in God and we have not invited the Holy Spirit into all things, perhaps anyway, better or worse today. You know, that was Dr. Drew's experience back in the 80s. And so, you know, backing up to what he said in the first bit there, he wanted to include a chapter in his book that his publisher would not permit, basically, about the other periods in history where there's been this much narcissism. And what did he say? what, you know, he wanted to include what happened in other periods of history when there's been this much narcissism and childhood trauma. And he said, I wanted to write about pre-revolutionary France and the probability of mob action, scapegoating, and guillotines. Which sounds like what Matthias de Smet has been saying in recent years. And others, obviously, people with their heads screwed on straight, have been warning us about what's going on. And really, it reminds me of David Crowley's Gray State. You know, I mean, if you watch the trailer, seems like we're there, and there are a lot of things going on. I mean, if you look at what's going on in Maui, for example, and the fact that you're not allowed to, you know, the state of emergency that was declared preemptively, you know, that was declared, I think it was July 17, let me just look at that real fast. That is being used as a broad brush sort of catch-all to censor people and to prevent people from doing really anything that the authorities deem undesirable. That's a very, very dangerous thing. Let's see, where is that? Maybe we should play clips of the locals and what they're saying about it. So the emergency declaration was, there it is, Governor Josh Green. Emergency proclamation relating to housing, signed by Governor Josh Green on July 17, 2023, aims to streamline the development. This is what they're saying is the basis of the, you know, stifling of all things and public dissent, I suppose. You know, the folks who are trying to keep an eye on what's going on locally around, even around the Lahaina area, who've been prevented from doing so. You can't take pictures, you can't stop, you might be arrested. It's the emergency proclamation. Well, the emergency proclamation was signed by Governor Josh Green almost a month before the fire started, so that's convenient. And how does an emergency proclamation relating to housing pertain to the present situation? That's kind of interesting. And so, you know, it would be interesting to hear exactly how and where specifically, you know, point by point, folks can't take pictures locally or stop and observe the scene, how that relates to an emergency housing proclamation. And, you know, the word is basically the emergency proclamation pertained to the other side of the island. So then why does this apply? Why not issue another emergency proclamation? It's all very strange. I think it's designed to get people upset. But, you know, the real point is that law enforcement is not acting in the interest of the people. And that's no surprise, because in the age of continuity of government, law enforcement has become military, an extension of military, and the intelligence community, eyes and ears of, you know, a nefarious cabal. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on the tree.
Welcome back.
You know how I feel.
I think if we hurry, we can squeeze this in. I think it's important to maybe mention, as a, you know, by way of reminder, that terrorism in the modern age is theater, as Mr. Terrorism is Theater himself put it. Terrorism is aimed at the people watching, not the actual victims. Terrorism is theater. That's Brian Michael Jenkins. So we'll let him explain in his own words if we can. Can we do that? By chance.
If there's one thing I know about you, Brian, is that you're incredibly good at making interesting statements about terrorism over the years. And one of the ones that I use a lot in my podcast and in my blogs is this statement you made. I don't remember when you made it, but you said, terrorism is theater. What did you mean by that then, and what do you mean by it now?
Well, to put the date on the citation, I actually wrote that in 1974.
1974?
And that was in 1974. I'm 107 years old. But much of my writing is really thinking out loud. That is, sharing with the reader what I'm thinking about, how I'm thinking about it. And, well, I appreciate the compliments to some of these felicitous phrases that come to me while I'm running or in the shower or wherever. Those are often really an attempt to sum up what may be paragraphs or even pages of thought, sometimes meandering. And it's an effort, in a sense, to restate in the most succinct fashion possible what I've been spent the last two paragraphs or two pages thinking out loud about. In that particular case, the point I was making is that terrorism differed from other modes of conflict, armed conflict. In conventional warfare, the violence is aimed at the opposing forces, and it is an effort to reduce their actual physical capability to continue fighting. Now, it also aims at their morale as well, but the attacks are directed at military targets, fighters, their supply lines, their depots, their weapons emplacements. Terrorism was very different. Terrorists could not really take on militarily superior foes on the battlefield. This had to be hit-and-run violence. It was intended really to create a psychological effect. The actual targets of the terrorist attack, the actual victims of the terrorist attack, other than a broad symbolic sense, had little importance to the terrorists. They didn't know who they were actually attacking in terms of hijacking an airplane or blowing up an airplane. The passengers, their identities were immaterial, or putting a bomb in a cafe, or a bomb in a bus. The target of the violence, as opposed to whom the violence was aimed at, the target of the violence was the people watching. Terrorism was aimed at the people watching. And in that sense, terrorism was theater. Deliberately choreographed violence to achieve dramatic effects that would cause people to exaggerate the strength of the terrorists, the importance of their cause, that would create an atmosphere of fear and alarm.
I think it's important to remember that it happens in a variety of ways. I think that it's not just the intentional stuff. I think in, you know, lie hop, high hop, my hop sort of fashion, you know, help it happen on purpose, make it happen on purpose. I think this kind of thing, you know, there are opportunities seized upon that are taken advantage of. Maybe I'll talk about that and give you a couple of examples. But I think there is propaganda and psychological warfare that is waged in a plausibly deniable way to cow us all. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
This is Elizabeth McCabe, a.k.a. Lucky One of Truth Frequency News. I wanted to tell you all about Extendivite from HeartDrop.com. Y'all know I check everything before I air it. When I heard about Extendivite on TFR, I went to HeartDrop.com and started my research. It's got cayenne. That's good for blood and circulation. It stimulates the blood flow. It's got garlic, which fights bacteria like antibiotics, and it lowers the cholesterol and blood pressure. It also has milk thistle, which is the best detox for liver. I couldn't wait to try it out, and I'm glad I did 4 months ago. And here's obvious results. My hands and feet don't get cold anymore. The varicose veins have faded too. My wrists don't hurt after typing all day. Now, I tell you all this because it's true and I want you to really live life. Try Extendivite. Go to heartdrop.com and order it.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new, healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Stuff. I think that, you know, most of what happens falls in that space that I would say constitutes the liminal warfare zone. Maybe we need to talk about that a little bit more. Who's doing what and why, we don't know. And by the time we start to get close to what's going on, we're already down the road. Buddy Brown has said some interesting things recently. There was one video that I wanted to play that I thought people would find interesting. If you haven't heard, a couple of things. Yeah. Maybe two videos. And he talked about Bobby Kennedy Jr. And that video was titled "The Secret Trojan Horse Is Here." I think he did a video that was titled something like "Ain't Gonna Be No Civil War." And I think that one got taken down. He's done some interesting stuff recently. So there was that one. Then there's the Oprah 5 questions you're not allowed to ask about Maui. Oprah's included in that. I think we'll play those two real quick. And I think he speaks for many people when he says these things. I probably should do that more. I should probably just be more direct. It's difficult, though, because, you know, there's always some kind of a catch. The minute you say something is kind of the minute that the media is, the Machiavellian contingent is masterful at manipulating things that you've said into meaning something that you didn't say. You know, a number of folks have, that's a cliche over the years, obviously, in the post-Bernaysian era. So, Buddy Brown, 5 questions you're not allowed to ask about Maui. And I think you will agree, you know, a number of folks feel this way. Can we? Yeah, okay. So here's that. Again, the video is titled 5 Questions You're Not Allowed to Ask About Maui. Country music artist Buddy Brown. Give this a listen. Go ahead, please.
Top of the morning, y'all. This channel's for anybody that doesn't believe what they hear on the news, but does believe most of what we hear on CB Radio. If you want to know where we're at in America's timeline right now, I feel like it's the movie Titanic, where the boat is already sinking and Cal is running around shooting a pistol at Jack and Rose. It's a complete circus. 96 dead, over 1,000 people missing, and our fearless leader right here is kicking back on the beach with his toes in the sand. Honest question number one. And this is about Oprah. This whole video is really, really just interesting. I just feel like these questions are never going to get asked, so let's ask them right here. If Oprah is so left-leaning and she's so woke and she's such a big pioneer believer in equality, I don't think it would be right for her 2,000 acres to stand undamaged. Do y'all? You know, while there's people floating out in the ocean holding on to a piece of plywood just trying to survive for her lives, this is about standing by your values of equity, Oprah. So if you really believe that, you know, they should take away from the ones who have earned it and give to the people who haven't, or give to the people who are unable, which is what equity says, so that they can stand just as high, then why doesn't she just burn down her 2,000 acres that she owns in solidarity to the Hawaiians who have lost everything? Well, that's pretty extreme, buddy. Well, yeah, so is the belief in equity. Next question, why was Oprah's land not completely scorched to the ground? You know, because if I light a barrel on fire and I throw a $1 bill in there and a $100 bill in there, do you think that fire is going to distinguish whatsoever between the $1 bill and the $100 bill? Absolutely not. Fire is fire, and fire takes out everything in its path. So why, pray tell, will nobody ask in a press conference to Biden why all these mansions are still standing just fine, unfazed and untouched? Question number 3 is really fun. Why does Oprah and all of her billionaire buddies not go on the record right now, just to do the classy thing? Go on record right now saying, we pledge and we declare we will never, ever land grab anything in Maui. We won't put up high-rise hotels. We won't invest. We won't have anything to do with it. That way, everybody can know that our motives are clear. Why don't they just do that? It'd be the classy thing to do. Because everybody's calling you out and saying this is exactly what's happening, you could put all those fears to ease. Question number four. Why have so many residents in Maui had their phones ringing off the hook from realtors asking, you want to sell your land? Are you kidding me? Who wants to buy scorched land? Who wants to be any part of that? Why is there not a law that says a realtor can't even make a call to somebody after something like this happens in a national disaster for a year? And question number five is, why is the supposed most popular president in United States history telling Hawaiians last night that he knows what it's like to lose something too? Because a lightning struck his house back in 2004 and he almost lost his Corvette, his 67 Corvette. That's what he said last night. I'm serious. I just heard that the total death count could be over 1,000 people because that's how many folks are missing right now. In the little town of Lahana, which has a population of about 13,000, if they lost 1,000, that's almost 10% of their entire population wiped out. Y'all, there is no doubt in my mind, climate change activists have a big old woody right now, and they get off on this extreme stuff. They get off on extreme tornadoes, extreme weather, earthquakes, floods, and fires. But it's funny to anybody who's ever cracked open a Bible, because we already knew this was coming to a theater near you. Luke 21:11, there will be earthquakes, there will be great famines, pestilence in various areas, and fearful events, and great signs from heaven. Look, people didn't read the handbook and they're freaking out about it right now. This really should be Biden's Katrina, but I don't believe that the media is ever going to let that happen. Your tax dollars and mine are being stolen by a Democratic government, and it's being laundered over to Ukraine, $40 billion for them, $700 for each Hawaiian family. And knowing all of that, what makes me sick to the stomach is Hawaiians will still probably vote blue in 2024. And I don't know how to help anybody like that. You know, and since nobody would dare ask any of these questions to Biden on air, to all you journalists that are too scared to get in his face and ask this kind of stuff, you're a complete insult to your own family's bloodline. Your ancestors are in the grave right now thinking you're weak as hell, you're a complete coward, and it's got to be done right here. It's got to be asked like this. God bless all you patriots still standing strong. We don't care about your jobs, journalist. We care about our lives. Think about that. Ask the hard questions and get it done like a man should.
There you go. So that's fun. And speaking of Maui and Ukraine, maybe we can throw this installment in. From the Hill, White House admits no more money for Maui. Tone-deaf Biden brings up house fire again. This actually happened. This actually is happening. So, you know, maybe we can throw that in. A little color commentary for the record. The latest, and you know, again, I mean, I think this is, it's theater. It's designed to get people upset and outraged, obviously. And to, you know, I talked about this a little bit at the end of the last week. Drawing primarily from Aaron and Melissa Dykes' latest video that is essentially, it's just drawing right from Neil Postman's book, Amusing Ourselves to Death. The video was titled Amusing Ourselves to Death, Orwell versus Huxley in 2023. And, of course, the title is the title of Neil Postman's book, Amusing Ourselves to Death, and how he basically talks about this idea of the theatrics of the medium. The medium is designed and intended, television is designed and intended to make a schizophrenic person and create this mindset of kind of like the old 80s late night TV shows, not that late, but, you know, I guess prime time into late night, the Stephen Jay Cannell and Aaron Spelling kind of era, where you just keep watching for the next episode and the next episode, and it never ends. There's never any closure. There's never any, you know, there's never any closure. It just goes on and on and on. And that's what television is designed to do. And when you view television as your primary means, you know, television news, for example, is a primary means of news gathering or information gathering, then Houston, we have a problem. So from the Wikipedia entry, Postman asserts the presentation of television news is a form of entertainment programming, arguing that the inclusion of the theme music, the interruption of commercials, and talking hairdos bear witness that televised news cannot readily be taken seriously. There was, you know, there have been movies made about this, for Pete's sake. You know, the character of Ron Burgundy is perhaps the most emblematic. So enough about that. I want to give you just a little bit of this other entry. White House admits no more money for Maui. Tone-deaf Biden brings up house fires again. From the Hills Rising. Can we do that, please?
During a press briefing about the Maui wildfires recovery effort, President Biden once again recounted a story about his 2004 house fire.
I didn't know anything like that, but lightning struck my house. We had to be out of that house for about 7 months while it was repaired because so much damage was done to the house and half the house almost collapsed.
While visiting the FEMA headquarters yesterday to thank emergency personnel who helped in the response to the Maui wildfires and Florida, Biden announced he will travel to Florida tomorrow morning, days after Hurricane Idalia hit western Florida. However, the visit may do little to take attention away from the federal government's Maui response. Here's a scene from the White House press briefing room earlier this week.
Given the cost of living in Hawaii, specifically in the Lahaina community, is anything being done right now? Are there considerations or efforts being made to try to raise that cap, that $700 figure for those who are there?
Yeah, the $700 figure of critical needs assistance is really just that amount of funding for some of the very immediate needs that individuals have. Every year, the main part of our assistance, which is our individual and household program, adjusts annually based on inflation. This year, it's $41,000 of a cap that individuals can get. That will get raised after the fiscal year. I don't know what that number is yet, but we do adjust that main portion of the funding that goes to individuals annually based on inflation.
Later, Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre again faced another grilling by Ducey.
Okay, and it seems like the hurricane response so far is robust. Did you guys realize that the initial Hawaii wildfire response was not that good? Or is it just easier for people to get help from the White House when the president is not on vacation?
So the premise of your question and the way you posed your question, I disagree, just for the record. So if you talk to, if you were to do your reporting and speak to the governor of Hawaii, the senators of Hawaii, the folks on the ground, they would say that the president reacted in record time when it came to dealing with the wildfires, when it came to dealing and making sure that they got everything that they need on the federal level to deal with what was going on the ground. Let's not forget, there were more than 600 federal employees on the ground already to assist with the wildfires in Maui. So your question is wrong, it's flawed in many, many ways.
Yeah, so Ducey always asks tough questions. I don't know that I necessarily disagree with him putting pressure on the White House for doing more for the folks in Maui. I will say I understand it's the governor's job to request the federal aid, and I think the governor did a really bad job in Hawaii in asking for the aid. Josh Green should have been a little bit more proactive. The folks responsible for sounding the alarm should have been more proactive. We know they stepped down. But I also think the Biden administration, it's a cop-out for them to say we've maxed out the amount of aid we can give with that $700. We know there are many sources for federal aid, especially in the case of emergencies. For example, you can get millions of dollars from HUD. In fact, it was just about 30% of the recovery funds and response funds for Sandy that came from FEMA. So it's just such a cop-out to say we've given the max we can give right now with that $700. They can call on Congress.
So backing up just a little bit, let's see. Corinne Jean-Pierre said that the folks on the ground, if you talk to the folks on the ground, they would say that President reacted in record time. This is the age of ultimate gaslighting. To say that when the guy was on a beach somewhere issuing statements of no comment and didn't bother to show up for a couple of weeks. Man, that is a very sinister form of gaslighting, I would say. And well, there's more. I'll talk about it when we come back. Stick around. More right after this break.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Welcome back. let me just say this in relation to the Maui situation. You listen to the folks on the ground. There was the Maui City Council meeting, for example. I think it was the 22nd, August 22nd. A lot of folks have talked about this, played clips like Christine Borge. Maybe we can play her, you know, 5-minute excerpt from the county council meeting. She says it all, and she's there. Who's going to say that, you know, we shouldn't listen to her? And I think it's pretty crazy. It's evidence of what Neil Postman was talking about, a sort of spillover effect, I think, when you see city council and county council meetings where people are only given 3 minutes. Why can't the meeting go on for days if it needs to? Let's hear from people for as long as is necessary or relevant or appropriate, I guess. Who decides what that means? I don't know. Hopefully we could all use our own discretion and best judgment. But if you've been through a situation where you've lost everything, your home, your personal effects, your memories, your employment, you can't even go to the site of where your home used to stand. I'm guessing that most folks who've been through a situation like that probably wouldn't be in a position or a state of mind to compose themselves in such a way that they could, even if it were possible, I don't even think it's possible, but even if they could fit all of what had happened into 3 minutes, I don't think they would be able to compose themselves in such a way that, they could do that in 3 minutes or less. But, you know, you listen to the folks. I mean, people, there have been videos done on this Jimmy Dore with guest host Craig Jardula did a video last week titled Maui Residents Erupt in Rage, which includes the Christine Borge clip. Maybe we can play it. I mean, I'll just say, you know, I would like to play it, but she, you know, drops one of those bombs in there, and she's, justifiably outraged at what is happening. The response and the, you know, the lack of empathy and compassion and so forth. She's not alone, but I think her remarks speak for many. Anyway, that'll do it for the first hour. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details, or visit 3DBunkers.com.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.